For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
And welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin Podcast. I know you've missed me for a while. Had some injury problems. Had a lot of work. For whatever reasons, I've missed you too. So we're back. And this podcast is about more than just one issue and more than just sports. Chris Long, and we explain it when I talk to Chris Long, is more than just a football player. And you will hear that in the podcast. He is clearly more than just a football player. He is a guy that really obviously cares about more things than just playing football. And we'll hear why. He donated six of his checks earlier to Charlottesville. All of his paychecks are being donated. Every single paycheck of this football season is being donated to help education. We'll explain all the different things. It's the Chris Long Foundation. But we're talking about some football. And this team has something about it, and Chris makes some of the comparisons between this team and the Super Bowl team he played on with the New England Patriots. Now, they were lucky what they won last year because Atlanta blew it, but whatever the case, he played on a Super Bowl champion. Just, you know, the comparisons between winning teams, and I think that's really important for people to understand. So here we go with Chris Long. And again, we talk football, we talk about what he's doing, we talk about why he's doing it, we talk about social injustice, we talk about all those different things. Here is Chris Long, and I'll be back to address it, and I'll have some comments about the 76ers, where they do trust the profits, not the process. Here's Chris Long. All right, talking to Chris Long, another one of the really, really good additions to the Eagles this year in a lot of ways. And when I say a lot of ways, obviously a sharp guy, but he cares. And I'm not saying that players don't care, but he cares about more than just playing football. And we're going to talk about that. What he's already done and what he's going to do with his foundation is unbelievable, and I don't think any other player has done it. But we'll get into the whys. He's donating, basically, and again, I'll get into it, his entire paycheck this year to help people in the community and help kids. But before we get to that, Chris, and I appreciate you doing this, and I know a lot of people appreciate what you're doing. That's really important. I know it's important to you, and it's important to a lot of people.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, well, let's talk about the team first, and then I'm going to get into – they're both important, as it turns out. This football team – when we looked at it, I said, the 10-win team, and they'll make the playoffs. But I know there's only six games, but it's better than a 10-win team. It's better than I thought it was. Why do you think, and I know it's your first year, why do you think this team has played so well and everybody has stepped up in every game?
Well, I got to give the coaches and the front office a lot of credit as far as compiling talent on both sides of the ball. You know, definitely power there. I should put my my train ticket. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold on.
That's all right. You're allowed to do that. This is, see, this is the good thing about being real in life.
Gotta give him a train. Hold on. I just had it up.
You can't find your train ticket.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go, Lance.
All right. All right, so you know why? I'll ask that question again, Chris.
Okay, that should be good. So I'll just restart the question.
Okay, I'll start it. Well, why do you think
this team
is
so good? Why does it have a chance?
Yeah,
I would first give a lot of credit to the coaching staff and the front office in compiling a lot of really unique talent on both sides of the ball. You know, maybe doing things unorthodox at times, but as far as you know, some of the talent, but it turns out to be, in my NFL experience, maybe the most talented roster, you know, top to bottom. And, you know, offensively and defensively, we got a lot of playmakers, and the team plays hard. The personality, I think, is selfless. And I think everybody's really just committed to winning every Sunday. And we put a lot in during the week. We don't kill ourselves out there on the practice field, but we're putting a lot in on the week during the week, and coach knows, you know, when to rein it back a little bit, but when to push. And so a combination of the talent, the way we go about things, it's what makes this team have a chance to be really good.
Chris, you've played on a championship team, obviously, with the Patriots, and there's got to be something – obviously beyond Tom Brady, but maybe that starts the ball rolling.
Yeah, it does.
In a lot of ways. What is it about a team and maybe the similarities between that team and the way they play together and the Philadelphia Eagle team that you're now on?
Well, listen, I mean, there's definitely a bunch of different ways to go about things in the league, and there have been a number of organizations with their own models that have succeeded. But, you know, from my year in New England, one thing that struck me always was, you know, that's a team that's built with a lot of size in mind. So, like, everybody's big on that team. You know, the backers, the D-linemen, you know, the offensive linemen. Schematically, it fits what they do. And they know who they are, and they execute at a high level under that premise. And obviously really well-coached physical football team. And it starts with the quarterback, but I see a team that's built, you know, on speed, physicality, and really flying around. So, you know, definitely built a little different talent-wise, but, you know, a lot of similarities in selflessness, mindset, buy-in, and obviously having really good head coaches. So, and good staffs under those head coaches. So, that's really important. And we've got some good teachers in the building that are able to teach some of these younger players. This team's a lot younger than the New England team, but definitely a lot of similarities.
You know, Chris, when I look at a team, the most guys have each other's back. And, you know, I've covered the Eagles for obviously a long time. You've been in the NFL for a while. What is it about the mentality and how important is it that players have each other's back and they're not about themselves?
Well, it's very important. I mean, obviously, on some level, every player's got a little selfishness because they want to do the best they can for the team, and their performance is important to them. So, you know, it's really a difficult task to get a group of grown men to buy in on that level, you know, to what you're doing. But coach does a great job of getting everybody to buy in. And a lot of that is based on, you know, creating – you know, evidence that players can feel excited about the future of the team, and if we buy,
how important is leadership, and is it? Do you have to define a leader or leaders on both sides of the football?
You know, I think I've seen it done different ways. Certainly, I've been on a couple teams, so but you know, you have really strong leadership, but then you also have a lot of guys that might not get credited leaders that go about their business every day and are definitely leaders by example too. So there's conventional ways to lead, but then there's also a lot of guys that are leading in their own ways. So I've been impressed with this locker room. It's a great place to come to work every day. And there's definitely guys that, that lead by example and then lead vocally and as traditional leaders.
You know, I know you're on the other side of the football, but I'm sure you watch Carson Wentz when you're not on the field at times, when you're not getting ready for the next series of downs. And see him in the locker room. How good is he with his – and that quarterback obviously has to be the leader. How good is he with the with his teammates?
Well, you know, the number one thing he does is he makes plays. So when you're a defensive player and you see him getting out of trouble, scrambling – you know, throwing a beautiful ball on the run, you know, scrambling, lowering his shoulder at the goal line. You might not want to see that all the time. But,
hey, listen, I loved it. That's a tough guy.
Yeah, but it's leadership. I mean, you know, his leadership is not only in the locker room, it's on the field. So, but in the locker room, he's just a guy that leads by example. You know, he's not always going to be loud, but when he talks, everybody listens and, everybody has great respect for him. So you can't be a leader without having that respect, and he's earned it.
You know, in terms of being in a team, I'm not a Cam Newton fan because I think Cam's about himself. You know, physical tools, I get it. Throws the ball up too many times. Whatever. I'm not talking about the physical part of it. When he scored the touchdown against the Eagles on Thursday night, he kind of pushed his teammates away because he wanted to celebrate himself. Where when the Eagles scored one of the touchdowns, they give the ball to Kelce to spike the ball. Don't you really have to be together in all ways, and that would be one of them? And maybe is that what Carson does too?
Well, I think Carson's definitely selfless, and you know, not to draw any comparisons or contrast anybody, but I definitely think that you know, Carson wants everybody involved, and at the end of the day, you can see it when – you know, you alluded to Thursday night, seeing Kel spike the ball. His O-line is very important to him. He's got as good a group as anybody up front, and I think that's one thing that is underestimated, even though it's documented, is that our O-line is, if not the best in the league, is one of the best. I mean, those two tackles are unbelievable. And then our ability inside to kind of hit the curveball with some guys going down with injuries, getting shuffled around, it's really impressive.
Chris, now here's something that that I have not seen another player do. You donated your first six checks to the people of Charlottesville, obviously with the real the unbelievable tragedy there. And now you are donating your final 10 checks of this football season to help people through the Chris Long Foundation to support the educational equality in different cities. Can you, rather than have me talk about it, can you explain why you did this and what you're doing?
Yeah, so, I mean, definitely my wife and I have always been interested in a great avenue for affecting equality, which is education. I think that folks in a lot of energy on our youth, our underserved youth, giving them opportunities, giving them an even playing field. You know, I always had everything I could ask for as a student, and I took that for granted sometimes, and I wish I hadn't. But there's a lot of kids that are well aware at their age, whether it's, you know, grade school or adolescence, that there's a great opportunity that they're either not getting a level playing field at or they're just not getting the opportunity at all. So for me this year, once we kind of rolled with the scholarship fund that we've continued in my hometown, which had, you know, a social component to it for sure with everything that went down in Charlottesville this summer and kind of the negative name we were getting, I thought it was important for people to step up from my hometown, and there's a lot of good that comes out of there. So I had toyed around with the idea that I wanted to play this year largely for charity, being my 10th year, and you never know how many more years you want to play. So I just thought to myself, this is a great time with the platform that I have to not only make a campaign that's personal, but possibly secure some matching funds, get fans involved. And I can't do that a few years from now when I'm sitting on my couch not playing football. So the last 10 game checks are going to go to further support of educational equity, and I'm launching an initiative called Pledge 10 for Tomorrow. I'll be donating my last 10 game checks. It's not like I'm a $10 million a year guy here, though, Howard. So
It's still millions of dollars. I mean, it's easy enough to look up what you make, and I didn't look it up, but it's still millions of dollars that you're giving to charity.
So I'll be donating those funds to four organizations in the three cities that I played in. In St. Louis, I'll be working with the Little Bit Foundation and College Bound. They'll get an even split. In New England and Boston, Summer Search, which is a wonderful organization, will get the gift. And in Philly, Summer Search will also get the gift. So each organization will get $100K. Obviously, St. Louis will then get $200K into that area. And it's just kind of, I helped out in my own way in my hometown and helped a few kids with scholarships. But for me, I didn't want to leave out the kind of more macro approach to this, which is allowing more educational equity on a bigger scale that's going to affect more kids. So my 10th year, I've been really lucky. I've made a lot of money to play a game, and I'm always thankful for that. So this is the least I can do. Like I said, my platform will only shrink from here, and hopefully we'll get fans involved too. So I hope they check it out and read up on it. You know, you can check it out at www.pledgeit.org/pledge10. And basically, hopefully the fans in those markets will get involved, because those markets gave me a lot. And I know football fans in there have big hearts.
I didn't hear you mention Philadelphia, but Philadelphia is one of them as well.
Yeah. Philly, maybe we cut out, but in Philly, Summer Search is the organization that's going to get the funding, and it's also the same organization in Boston as well. So, and Summer Search is a national youth development organization, been around for 2 decades, and it increases the number of students who complete college and strengthen their skills that revolve around academics. So they partner with high schools and underserved communities. There's mentoring, summer experiences, college advising, support, all these things that kind of level the playing field for kids that don't have the same opportunity that maybe I had.
Well, you know, which is great. Now, part of the, I don't know if there was a connection, but this year, obviously, there's a lot of chatter about what's happening during the national anthem and social injustice and all the things that are problems in this country. Do you think that, and I know you were at the NFL offices and the players were there meeting with the owners, trying to get some kind of, not a resolution, but a help to get everybody on the same page. Do you think really that what is being done by some players, and you're not one of them, and the Eagles, I have not seen any players kneel, for the last whatever games, but do you think that this has accomplished anything in America, or does it change really the narrative?
Well, I think it certainly could. I mean, again, I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be, the method may not be for everybody, but if people wade through that and listen to the message, which is a very valid one, that there's a lot we need to improve in this country. And that's not to say this isn't the best country in the world. I mean, I believe that wholeheartedly, but if you're on the best team in the NFL, or if your team is undefeated, you're still going to go out to practice. You're going to try to improve. And I know that's kind of a corny metaphor, but it's a good one. You're always trying to improve. And I think what you're finding is players that are trying to take ownership of some issues in their communities where they come from, and where they play, and trying to help people. A lot of people say, oh, look at these millionaires protesting. They're not protesting on account of millionaires. They're trying to help people less fortunate, that maybe are from communities they come from that aren't receiving fair treatment. It's a comprehensive effort for criminal justice reform. It's not just about police accountability, which I think has gotten lost in the message. And, you know, education does fall into this category, you know, educational equity, trying to improve our schools so we can get out ahead of some of these problems that we have to face when people become adults and didn't have the same opportunities. So I think it all ties together. But it's not why I'm doing this, but it certainly ties in.
No, and I know you're doing it because you obviously have thought about it before all this other these other things started. But I don't see all the other players really trying to help in the community that are protesting. I don't see people putting.
I think that's an indictment on some of the media. I think players certainly could do a better job of highlighting some of the things that they're doing in the community. But ultimately, I think the NFL and sensitive work the players are doing in their communities. You know, if you see, I retweeted something the other day where Kenny Stills from the Dolphins was in the community working with police side by side. You know, creating a dialogue, increasing accountability on both sides of the aisle, working alongside these police officers. You know, a lot of people tweeted at me, well, if the players had just been doing that from the beginning, well, a lot of players have been doing that from the beginning, and I think maybe it falls on them, but it also falls on media outlets for pushing an incomplete message. And if you look at things like that Malcolm's doing in the community, that he's done such a great job with in Philly. I know Philly fans appreciate him and the substantive work he's done. It's not just about raising a fist. It's about drawing the necessary attention to that stuff, but then also doing the work on a legislative level. And a lot of the things he's doing are very valid.
There's not just one or two things. It's just if you were king of the world, what three things would you try to get accomplished? And it's really, I know that's a deep question and it's a tough question. Obviously, we want people together, but people got to stop killing each other, too. That's the other problem.
I mean, no doubt about it. I mean, there's a whole host of problems that plague our country and really the world. We're not immune to them. But again, I say this every time I talk about it. I do believe we live in the best country on the planet. And I just, as a white athlete, that grew up the way I grew up, and was lucky to, because my dad came from a tough background and I was the first generation to have everything I wanted in my family. So, I look at this as I want everybody to love America as much as I love it, you know, and I don't think America is the same for everyone, at this point. And there's no problem with striving to try to accomplish, that perfect place. You know, and for me, you asked me a really tough question, but
I know.
If I was king of the world, one of the three things I could say for sure I'd do would be improve our educational system. If I was running the show, because I think there's nobody that deserves, you know, a fair shake like our youth. And I don't believe that everybody's getting the same academic experience. I know that for a fact. And I'm working with the Boys and Girls Club, who's doing a great job facilitating my scholarship fund back home. You know, look no further than, you know, my high school experience. And then I pop down to the club and see some of these kids that are middle schoolers and high schoolers and hearing about their home life or, you know, the lack of resources they have at school. You know, it makes you want to do something about it. And it's a longer play. That's what's tough about education is it's not like you can solve it tomorrow. You're not going to see the results right away. And everybody wants instant gratification, but there's a whole generation of people that are going to grow up to be adults.
You know, for people that, and I don't know that anybody doesn't know who your father is, Howie Long, and I would assume he got a scholarship even when he went to play at Villanova. You got a scholarship. But one of the problems that I've had in America, education is really the backbone of our country. And I don't think most families, I was lucky enough, obviously in your family, because of sports, lucky enough to be able to not only get an education, but get a career to help other people. But I don't think this country helps people enough. The colleges, the expense of sending a kid to college is just absolutely incredible. And yet they pay coaches $8, $9, and $10 million. And, you know, I have a problem with connecting with that. And then kids can't afford, you know, the tuitions at some schools. You know, I've had kids that go to USC, Syracuse, and it's like now it's like $60,000. How many people in America can afford that? Don't we have to do something to help pay for education to educate our kids?
No doubt about it. And I think you know, the approach that the Pledge 10 initiative has taken is more trying to work with, you know, middle school age kids to high school age kids, and just increase their opportunity. I mean, certainly there are outlets for scholarships and that sort of thing, but I mean, it is tough when you look at, when I think about, first off, I grew up with everything I could want, and football gave me that through my dad. And when I look at kids that might not have had the same opportunity, and I got a scholarship, so I was just double lucky. You know, there are kids that just don't have those resources at home. And it, when you look at it, it just really wakes you up to how staggeringly expensive an education is. So it's something we have to grapple with as Americans, improve our schools, keep up with the rest of the world, and improve equality in that realm. And that's one way to improve your community, I believe.
Well, Chris, it's really great. I don't know of another player in the NFL that, regardless of what you make, donated all his paychecks to help with education and help with kids. I'm sure your father and you have talked about it. I know you guys talked when you were in L.A. playing the Chargers. I don't know how deeply you get into this, but parents are important, and I'm sure your father has given you a lot of has instilled a lot of good values in yourself.
I mean, he's meant a lot. You know, definitely him and my mom, Diane, have been kind of the backbone of our family, and subsequently my brothers and I, our careers. You know, having a dad who's done what my brother Kyle and I have gotten into, kind of on accident. I don't think they wanted us to play football, but it kind of worked out that way.
Yeah, okay.
And then my youngest brother, Howie, who works for the Raiders. Like, it's really valuable to have a parent who's been through that. And having a mom who, like, literally when my brother was at Oregon, she would go watch my brother at Oregon for Saturday night games and then take a red eye to St. Louis and get to the stadium right before the noon games, because we only played at noon, let me tell you. And that just meant so much to me. So to have my dad and my mom fully supportive, and then also to be thankful to have that, you know, in the first place, you know, have two parents in my home, you know, to have the opportunities I've had, you know, I think that shapes what you want to do with your platform.
Chris, one more football question. And I know coaches and players say one game at a time. With what this Eagles team has accomplished, is it hard not to look forward beyond the next game?
No, it's for some reason it's been easy here, because I think, you know, you're a part of building something. And when you're building something, and this is an exciting stage of the building process, you know, I feel like I hopped in at the right time. You're just literally working on putting one thing on the team's constantly growing and improving and figuring out ways to win games. So I can honestly tell you, I don't know who we play in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And I really haven't so far this year. Maybe I'm getting old in my memories. but I think this team's got a personality. It's like, whatever the next thing is, whatever the next challenge is, you know, we're just going to meet it head on, and that's 1 week at a time.
You know, I remember when you said you made the choice and you wanted to come to Philadelphia, and I don't know if you ever had second thoughts, but obviously you don't have those second thoughts now. But did you ever have second thoughts about signing with the Eagles?
No, I mean, for me, my decision was all based on, do I want to keep playing football? You know, I just want a ring, and, you know, being 32 years old, it's hard. I mean, you know, that's being an older guy. It's you get pegged to be just that, an old guy. You know, the way teams look at you in free agency, and the way, you know, some fans might look at you. But I knew Philly was the right place for me, and it gave me an opportunity to show that I can still play and be a part of something that quite frankly is exciting. You know, I'm not surprised we're good. I knew that making a decision, because I damn sure didn't want to go to a team that was struggling. I can tell you that for sure. And a lot of you guys probably looked at me like, you know, what do you see here? I saw a whole lot. That's why I came here. So I'm not surprised at all. And awesome guys in the locker room. I couldn't be happier to be a part of it.
You know what? It's the passion of these fans, and I know you haven't been here a full season yet, but you know what they're looking at. So sometimes you can't really get caught up in that, can you?
No. But at the end of the day, they really know ball, and it's been kind of fun. In the community, everybody's really excited. And they're really welcoming and just cool.
Chris, I appreciate your time and congratulations. The Chris Long Foundation and for Philadelphia, it's summersearch.org/Philadelphia if they want to get involved and if they want to know more about it. And the foundation is Chris, one word, ChrisLongFoundation.org if they want to get caught up on all the things going on there as well.
And I'll hit them with one more URL here. It's a lot, but www.pledgeit.org/pledge10. Check that out. I really appreciate it. It's going to a really good place, and I know we got a lot of big-hearted fans, so I appreciate that.
All right, Chris, thanks, and I'll see you, and just get ready for the next game.
See you soon, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Thank you.
Take it easy. Right.
And when you hear Chris Long, I am talking to him as he's on his way back from New York on a train where the players met with the NFL to deal with the issues, not just about the national anthem and about their help. So here is Chris Long, a very, very sharp and intellectual guy. Chris Long really has made a good contribution. He's made a contribution to this football team. Just another one of the many additions. And again, it was on the train. I love the part where the guy comes for his ticket and then he can't find his ticket. That's good. That's the real world. That's what happens. But he gave me the time after what was a really, really long day for him. Hope you understand and hope you enjoyed Chris. And I would check out the websites that we talked about. Now, as far as the 76ers. On WIP, I made the prediction for the Sixers this year, but I'll get to that in a second. I want to deal with the nonsense of the time limits that they have put on the playing time limits that the Sixers, the doctors, and I don't think it's the doctors. I think it's not the doctors. It's the other guys. It's the zoologist and the other doctor they got from Barcelona. And I don't think they're not just trying to extend his season and have him play in as many games as he can. And there's I put the over-under at 50, but whatever. If he plays 65, 70 games, that would be terrific. But to put the time limits on him is not just for this year. I really believe that the 76ers are trying to extend his career because players with those kind of injuries are usually 5 years. And then they're done. Big guys with bad feet and big guys with injury problems don't last very long. I would be shocked if his career, now his career in the record books would be more than 5 years, if he plays more than five more years. I would be shocked if that happens. I would like to see it because when he's healthy and when he plays, he is a dynamic, an incredibly dynamic player. We all know that. But he's got to play for that to happen. Ben Simmons has got to be able to shoot for them to be good. Markel Fultz, I don't think he's a two guard. I think he's lost a two guard. He's got to be a point guard, and that's not going to happen if Ben Simmons is playing point guard. They need some guys more than J.J. Redick, and Robert Covington's a nice player, but I think people have gotten carried away with Robert Covington. The stone-cold best shooter on this team is J.J. Redick. But here's my prediction, and I made it on the air on WIP for the 76ers this season. 53 wins. I've gone over every game on the schedule, the back-to-backs, the three games in four nights, and most of those happen after the 76ers play the Boston Celtics in London because they have so many days off before and after. So I've gone over everything. 53 wins, and the Eastern Conference Finals. So, and it's not, I'm not trusting any process, and the process still hasn't worked. The process is a fraud, and I don't want to get too deep into that. But the bottom line is, it's a new era, a new time, 53 wins in Eastern Conference Finals for the 76ers. And they better get to that level with all the draft picks that they have accumulated and they have on this team. So there you go. We'll be back again in about a week with another podcast, the Howard Eskin Podcast, as always, available on iTunes.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.